Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
Hey there, everyone. Kevin Cruz here. Welcome to the LeadX Leadership Show. Next generation leadership is what we are all about. We want to help you to stand out and to get ahead. We want to help you to become the boss everyone wants to work for. Now, on today's show, I'm literally speaking to a leadership legend, one of the top leadership thinkers and influencers in history. Now, I had the chance to have a long lunch with him a couple years ago and was just blown away by his knowledge and his desire to make a positive impact on others. It's really sort of a life highlight kind of moment or meal back then. It was great to reconnect with him here and to talk to him about his brand new book. But first, if you're the kind of person who always says thank you, I hope you'll thank the LeadX team by taking 1 minute to leave a rating on iTunes or wherever you are listening to this podcast. It's the single best favor you can do for me. It's the best thing you can do to grow the LeadX family. And make sure to visit leadx.org for the free training course of the day. You don't even need to sign up with an email. It just go there and it plays. And while you're there, check out the LeadX Academy, over 50 courses. That's going to help you to stand out and get ahead at work. Now, our quote of the day is from Gandhi. The best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. Which brings me to the intro for today's guest. He is the co-author of the groundbreaking bestseller, The 1 Minute Manager. And all of his books combined have had sales of more than 21 million copies. They've been translated into 42 languages. His 65th and latest book, Servant Leadership in Action, is a collection of essays from 44 of today's top servant leadership authorities and practitioners. He is also the co-founder and chief spiritual officer of the Ken Blanchard Companies, which he started in 1979. Our guest, of course, is the legendary Dr. Ken Blanchard. Ken, welcome to the show.
Well, Kevin, it's great to be with you.
So a lot of my listeners, Ken, are younger managers, and you've contributed so much to the field of management leadership. But I'm wondering, like, what would be a first piece of advice you would give to a new or a first-time manager?
Well, my biggest advice, Kevin, is that they should listen more than talk. You know, I think a lot of times what happens with young managers is they want to make a entry to say, man, you know, I really got it together. Well, the people know you don't have it together. And if you came to them and said, you know, gee, I feel honored to be in this leadership position, but I'm not going to be able to do anything without you. And I want us really to be a team. So I'm here to listen as much as I am to speak. And I just want to set that kind of tone. Remember, my son was running the kitchen at a big hotel in San Diego, and he was in his early 20s, and he was with all these people from different races and creeds and all older and all, and he went in and did that, and they loved him, you know. They said, yeah, we knew you didn't know anything, you know. Now, let us see what we can do to help you, you know.
If you don't try to fake it, you'll save a lot of time.
Absolutely.
So, Ken, your new book is Servant Leadership in Action, How Can You Achieve Great Relationships and Results? And I just want to start because I think many people have misconceptions about what servant leadership is. They just think it's the boss taking orders from everybody, or there's a little bit of this movement around holacracy where it's self-managing teams. But that's not what self-leadership is about, right?
No, I know. You're right, Kevin. When I talk to groups about that, initially they think it's about the inmates running the prison or trying to please everybody or something. But they don't understand that there's two aspects of servant leadership. The leadership aspect is about vision and direction and goals, because leadership is about going somewheres. And that's the responsibility of the hierarchy, you know. If people aren't clear in what business you're in, what you're trying to accomplish, and your values and your goals, shame on you. It doesn't mean you shouldn't involve them. It's just your responsibility to make sure that that's clear. And that's the leadership part of servant leadership. And then once that's done, now you move to the servant part of servant leadership. And philosophically, Kevin, now you got to turn that pyramid upside down. So now you work for your people who eventually work for your customers. And if, when people understand that, they really get it, you know, that, okay, now once the vision and direction and goals are clear, the job of the leader is to help people live according to the vision and values and goals and be successful. And now you're working for them. You're the head cheerleader and all. And so often in organizations, you get self-serving leaders who, during implementation, which is the second part, the servant part, they like that hierarchy to be alive and well. So everybody's sucking up the hierarchy, you know. And now, as the customer, if you're dealing with somebody with a problem, you're talking to a duck, and they're going, quack, 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 it's our policy, quack, quack, I didn't make the rules, quack, quack, do you want to talk to my supervisor, quack, 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 quack. You know, we call the supervisory a duck, the head mallard. They just quack at a higher level. And where if you have a really servant leadership organization, when you're talking to a frontline person, you're talking to an eagle because they're allowed to bring their brains to work. I wrote a book with Colleen Barrett when she was president of Southwest Airlines after Herb sat down, and people are able to make decisions there and bring their brains to work and all. And I think that's one of the exciting things when you see a servant leadership run organization.
I love that. And that explanation really enlightened me and set me up for understanding the other articles in the book as well. And one thing I'm curious about, I've been thinking about this for a long time. It's this idea of tying compensation to employee survey results. It's actually chapter 40 in the book from former Popeye CEO Cheryl Bockelder. So she talked about back then she had about 25% of a manager's bonus was tied to their servant leadership survey. And I know Doug Conant, former CEO of Campbell Soup, he tied a part of everyone's bonus or manager's bonus back to their employee engagement survey. What are your thoughts on this of tying a part of your variable pay, your bonus, to your followers' perceptions of your leadership abilities?
Well, I think that's really important, Kevin, because I've said for a long time, feedback is the breakfast of champions. You know, that if you really want to find out how somebody's doing, you got to get feedback and you got to give it to them and you got to receive it and all. And so a survey might be a real way to get some feedback. And then with Cheryl, she had created a servant leadership environment. So people weren't just trying to suck up the hierarchy and give their manager good scores, you know, so they had a good relationships. And so surveys are good, but I think you also need to manage by wandering around and interview and see how people are doing. Because to me, for every leader, the number one customer is got to be their people.
Right.
And if they take care of their people, if they empower their people will then take care of their number two most important customer, you know, the people who use their products and services. And remember, in an organization, everybody has a customer, and some people have external customers, you know, that they deal with, the salespeople and all. Some people have mainly internal customers like the HRD department, right, you know, and some people have customers from, you know, both aspects of the thing. But what are you doing in relation to that? But it all depends on how you're being perceived by your people. And I think getting that kind of feedback is really helpful. And I think compensation should be do that. And if you do a great job with your people, they'll take care of your customers. That'll get the goals accomplished and the organization will be profitable and productive.
Love that. And in this sort of crazy busy world we're in, especially larger companies, public companies, where everything's measured in 90-day quarters and short-term thinking, and we're all double booked with our meetings, how would you recommend that managers sort of remember or pause to realize, I can't just be a manager of tasks, I need to be a leader of people? How can we put this into our daily and weekly work?
Well, Kevin, one of the great co-author experiences I had a number of years ago was writing a book with Norman Vincent Peale, who wrote The Power of Positive Thinking. Amazing guy. He was 86 years old when I met him. And one of the things that we said, we wrote a book called The Power of Ethical Management, Integrity Pays, You Don't Have to Cheat to Win, is we said that we all have two selves. We have an external task-oriented self that's used to getting jobs done. And then we have a thoughtful, reflective self. Now, which of those two selves wakes up quicker in the morning? Of course, what? The alarm goes off, you know, and you jump out of bed and you're into your task-oriented self and all. You know, John Ortberg's a good pastor friend of mine. He said, we ought to call the, the clock, the opportunity clock, or it's going to be a great day. Not alarm, you know. And then you're trying to eat while you're washing. You're running around from, you know, in the car. You're on the phone. Then you're in the meeting, and you're running and all. And people are so into their task-oriented self that they really don't have time to reflect on who they want to be in the world and how they want to be that day. So one of the things that I've really talked about is that if you want to be an effective servant leader, you have to enter your day slowly. And by that mean, I'm not talking about hours, but taking at least 10 minutes. I like to sit on the side of the bed and think about, okay, what do I have on my calendar for today? How do I want to be today? What do I want to do and all? And that's really very, very helpful in all in setting a thing. And then I've never been much of a journal writer because, you know, people write four colors and poetry and all. But Bill Hybels, who was a buddy of mine, was a big church in the Chicago area, was working with the Chicago Bears when Singletary was there. And he would watch the films after Bible study. And they always first looked at what do they do well and want to keep doing from the game before, and then what do we want to do differently? And he said, Ken, that's what a journal ought to be. And boy, it's been such a powerful thing. So at the end of the day, I have a journal and I write praisings, which is back to the 1 minute manager.
Right.
What did I do today that's consistent with who I want to be in the world? And then redirections. What would I like to have an instant replay? Because I would like to have done that differently. And, you know, they say an unexamined life isn't worth living, you know. And so if you kind of do that every day, you're going to kind of track where am I doing well and all that. So I think that you have to be intentional about being a servant leader and taking care of your people and not just, boom, racing around into the craziness of day. Just take that 10 minutes or more in the morning and say, hey, how do I want to be today? What do I have to do? And then kind of to reflect on that at night.
I like this idea of using the journal as game film, you know, just the way the professional athletes do, you know, looking back and taking lessons from the day. So final question, Ken, I've been doing a lot of reflection and some work in the area of leaders as coaches. In fact, I often say I almost wish we would ban that word manager and just replace it with coach. You know, instead of being a sales manager, you're a sales coach or something like that. Do you have any tips for managers out there who want to lead with a coaching style, who want to coach their team members to higher levels of performance?
Well, Kevin, first of all, if you're going to really help people win, which I think is your job as a manager, there's three parts of that. There's performance planning. That's when at the beginning of a period of time, you set goals and objectives. That was the first secret of the 1 minute manager, 1 minute goal setting. All good performance starts with clear goals. Then the second part is day-to-day coaching, you know, which is, okay, now that you're clear on the goals, how do I help you accomplish the goals? And then for the final is performance evaluation, where you sit down and evaluate somebody's performance over time. When I go around the world, Kevin, and ask people of those three things, where do you spend most of the time? Almost universally say evaluation, because they're filling out all these stupid forms on their people and all, which I think is really crazy. My feeling is that everybody in an organization ought to fill out only one evaluation form that's on themselves. And the job of the manager is either agree or disagree. And that the biggest part of the whole coaching is that part where after goals are clear, what are you doing? You should be gathering data, wandering around, finding, praising progress and cheering people on. If their performance is in a particular area isn't up to snuff, then, you know, on the new 1 minute manager, we call it 1 minute redirects rather than 1 minute reprimand. You say, gee, it appears that, you know, the performance isn't going in the direction. What can I do to help you get back on track and all that kind of thing? And that's where the bulk of the time ought to be spent. Not on the evaluation and filling out forms and all that kind of thing. So it's a really exciting. I wrote a book with Gary Ridge from WD-40, and he got really excited about this whole concept because, Kevin, you'll get a kick out of it. When I was a college professor for 10 years, I was always in trouble, investigated by some of the best faculty committees. But the problem is that the first day of class, I gave out the final examination. They would say, what are you doing? I say, I'm confused. They say, act. I thought we were supposed to teach these kids. You are, but don't give them the questions in the final. And I'd say, not only am I going to give them the questions in the final, what do you think I'm going to do all semester? I'm going to teach them the answers. So when they get to the final exam, they get A. Life is about getting A. It's not some stupid normal distribution curve. And I go into organizations and I'll say, how many of you every year go out and hire some new losers? You know, I mean, you lost some of your low people last year. We wanted to get some new losers to fill the low slots. No, you either go out and steal winners from other companies or you have potential winners. And why are you even thinking about a normal distribution curve? And so Gary started this whole thing in WD-40 that's changed the whole environment called Don't Mark My Paper, Help Me Get an A. And he's holding managers responsible for getting their people A averages, which is accomplishing the goals that they have set. And they have quarterly meetings, actually, where they can actually even change their goals all the way up to the beginning of the fourth quarter. Because a lot of times people will file goals and they leave them alone until somebody says, you got your annual performance review, and everybody, boom, they're running around trying to find the damn goals. You know, and so coaching is really so important, because after goals are clear, your job is to help people accomplish the goals and win. And you do that by praising progress, redirecting efforts, being there for people.
I love that. And what a story. That culture, total opposite from forced ranking and forcing the 10% out every year. So Ken, tell us, what's the best way for our listeners to find out more about you and, of course, the new book?
Well, we have a website called KenBlanchardBooks.com, so they can go right on that and they can get good information on this Servant Leadership in Action book. And I'm just thrilled. John Maxwell wrote the foreword to the book. And I said, who do you think we should get to endorse it? And he said, Ken, all of them are already in the book. And so when you open the book, if you notice, the first 3.5 pages introduce all the people, including Simon Sinek and Brené Brown and Len Scioni and Francis Hesselbaum and, you know, Marshall Goldsmith and just, you know, Lori Beth Jones and just all kinds of amazing people. And so I'm really excited about this. So you can find about this and all the other books that I've done, or you can go to Amazon and they have it, and Barnes and Noble and all that kind of thing. So nobody gets any royalties from this. We've created a foundation for servant leadership so that we can have money to support servant leadership efforts, because the world is in desperate need, Kevin, as you know, a different form of leadership. We've seen what self-serving leaders have done in a negative way in every sector of society around the world. And so this is about a movement. It's not just about a book.
I love that. And I hope you and your co-authors continue to collaborate. I can't help but notice that in the music world, especially, I think it's now universal, but it started in the hip hop and the rap music. They would always collaborate. They would always have a lead artist featuring another artist. So to me, this is like a great hip hop album of some of the best thinkers collaborating, featuring each other on a single topic. And it's, I think, going to be, you know, your biggest book in a long time and a great movement.
Yes. And there's not only just people who write about and study this field, but there's practitioners like Gary Ridge from WD-40, James Blanchard, who was president for years at Synovus. They won the best company to work for from Fortune so often that they asked him to stop applying, and they started an all-star list. And then Cheryl Batchelor, how she turned around Popeyes. And so it's not just, you know, people who write about it, it's that people have done it. And all, there's a wonderful article about Pat Summitt, the old Tennessee basketball coach, you know, by one of her great players, Tamika Catchings. It's called Pat Summitt's Steely Eyes, Servant Heart. Wonderful article. And so it's just a great stuff.
Great way to put it. Ken, thank you again for coming on the LeadX Leadership Show, and best of luck.
Well, good. Thank you so much, Kevin. Take care of yourself.
LeadX family, before I go, I got to give you some straight talk. Now, there's about 10,000 of you listening to this podcast this week, and all 10,000 of you should be members of the online LeadX Academy. That's my company. That's my startup. That is the thing I'm most proud of in my career. These are on-demand, video-based courses you can take on your phone, on your iPad, on your computer, watch or listen in your car, on the treadmill. We've got courses on management, leadership, communication, and more. And just diving into it, you don't understand how much good stuff is there. We have 8 different courses on productivity. For example, one course is how to cure procrastination. You know, how different would your life be if you could eliminate procrastination? I've got a lesson on how severe is your procrastination, another on the 4 procrastination styles, the 9-step procrastination cure, and even advanced strategies to cure procrastination. Now, let's take a whole different area, personal branding. We've got 8 different courses in that content domain. So if you're a consultant, a speaker, a writer, or you want to be one someday, start building your brand now. I've got one course on how to write viral articles. You know, people say I am everywhere because of my articles that go out on Forbes and Huffington Post and, I mean, literally dozens of places. How to write viral articles. There's a lesson on how to read the mind of your reader. I always read the mind of my reader before I start the article. Same with my books, by the way. How do you write the perfect headline? What is the perfect article structure? What do you need to know about search engine optimization as you write your article? By the way, do you know that I have the most popular article on Forbes of all time? I think it's got about 26 million views. I wrote that article knowing how to read the minds of readers, write the headline, write for SEO. They're not all 26 million views, but that's how I did it. Try the LeadX Academy at leadx.org for free for 3 days. No risk. If you don't like it, then no harm, no foul. But right now, because we're technically pre-launch, it's at a ridiculously low $7 a month for a subscription. That's for the annual subscription. This is pre-launch special. Does it sound like I'm doing an infomercial? I'm selling you Ginsu knives. Yes, I know, but I need to break through to you. There's 10,000 of you that haven't signed up yet. Now, this price, we are going out of pre-launch. It's going to double in about a month. It's going to double a month after that. And the reason why you want to lock in your annual plan now is you're getting all this new stuff for the same $7. We're launching Microsoft Office Training, a very cool 5-factor online personality assessment. And we're going to give you a chatbot powered by IBM Watson. Now, that's not coming until June, but you don't need to wait. It'll be a whole lot more expensive by June. So here's the takeaway. If you want to be a great boss, if you want to stand out and get ahead, visit leadx.org and just check out the free 3-day trial. And the final takeaway, leadership is influence. You influence when you take action and when you choose to be a bystander. It's just, which way are you going to be leading? Be mindful, be intentional. How will you lead today?